Blessed be our God forever and ever. Amen. Please join me in this responsive scripture reading. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads.
Reading from the book of Isaiah. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
The chief priests and the scribes brought Jesus. They began to accuse Jesus, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off. He sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. Herod questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, Jesus has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that Jesus should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released Barabbas, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished.
Welcome all of you who have come here tonight in person and remotely to this Good Friday service. The title of my sermon tonight is Friday's Here, But Sunday's Coming. And I'm indebted to a longtime former minister here, Henry Campbell, who first gave me the idea for this sermon long ago, and it stuck with me all of these years. It's Friday now. Where are we today? COVID. We've each lost an average of 1.8 years of our lives due to COVID. CDC life expectancy for the U.S. population in 2020 was 77 years, a decrease of 1.8 years from 2019. COVID is now the third leading cause of death in the United States. Almost 1 million people have died, and more than 6 million have died globally. Almost one in four of us have been infected. It seems that we get done with one wave of COVID only to welcome another one. We are exhausted, and some have lingering illnesses. We also are lonely and suffering from a lack of personal human contact. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Invasions. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the worst violence in Europe since World War II, has led to 4 million refugees fleeing the country and 10 million more displaced. Whole cities have been destroyed. Thousands have died. Increased investments in arms are being made by all sides. Ethiopia, Mali, Niger, and other countries have their own military struggles. We are using these opportunities to study how the weapons of war work so that we can kill more people next time. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Climate change. Climate change is emerging as a major threat to humanity. Warmer weather and increased severity of storms have occurred and will increase due to higher levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that block the cooling of the sun's heat. In Iowa, we face double the number of 90-degree days in the summer and an increase in prolonged dry periods. When it does rain, we'll get much more than we need, causing flooding. Globally, migrants displaced by famine and storms will try to move to other countries. Crops, insects, animals, and humans will be affected. The planet is crying out. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Polarization. Our society has become more polarized. We don't share a common truth anymore. Politically, we use power rather than negotiation. We lack faith in media and other institutions to tell us what is going on and guide us. We are quick to judge rather than investigate and reflect. We're suspicious of teachers, professors, politicians, ministers, and even us. Rather than embracing each other as part of a global humanity, we have split into clans that exclude and judge others negatively. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Mental challenges. Despite our many possessions, we are not satisfied or happy. Stresses we have created by our employment practices, discrimination, economic power, and constant mantra that more things will make us happy have prevented us from appreciating and sharing what we do have. We hide our human weaknesses instead of reaching out for help. Since 2001, 4 times more soldiers and veterans have committed suicide than have died on the battlefield. Yet we continue to hide our problems, even from ourselves, and our support systems are weak. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Imagine how the disciples felt after their world crashed down that Good Friday. long ago. Prior to his crucifixion, Jesus, in Luke, offers an especially terrifying view of what would happen. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but for yourselves and your children. For the days are coming when women who have no children will be counted fortunate indeed. Mankind will beg the mountains to fall on them and crush them, and the hills to bury them. For if such things as this are done to me, the living tree, what will they do to you?" Immediately after Jesus died on the cross, now from the sixth hour, noon, there was darkness all over the land into the ninth hour. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Well, because of the fear of what might happen, including what the Jewish leaders might do after crucifying Jesus, the disciples were gathered with the door shut. They did not prepare Jesus' body for burial. Instead, it was Joseph of Arimathea, being a secret disciple of Jesus, who went to Pilate and received permission to take Jesus' body and prepare it for burial. He and Nicodemus wound linen treated with myrrh and aloe around the body. Even when Jesus appeared to the disciples afterward, there was doubt on the part of the disciples about what they'd seen and what it meant. Last year's theologian in residence, Dr. Karen King, discussed the Gospel of Mary, which painted a post-resurrection picture of disciples who argued, doubted, and looked after their own interests and biases. Dr. King noted that in the years following Good Friday, there were alternative factions following Jesus with differing ideas about his message. Even after 2,000 years, we are still not in agreement about why Jesus died on that Good Friday. Some say he had to die for our sins. Others say it was a tragic death and not required for our salvation. Yet the fact remains that despite our differences, we can agree that out of that dark Friday came an exceedingly great power of Christianity. When we are down, when it is darkest, when everything seems to be falling apart, when it is Friday, it is very hard to imagine that there might be a Sunday. Yet things do have a way of working out over time, often in ways we cannot imagine. Think for a moment about a dark time in your own life and what eventually happened. I'm not saying that things work out perfectly. That hasn't been the case for Christianity, nor for us. But often we get through it. And sometimes adversity can lead to unexpected and even wonderful outcomes. When COVID spread uncontrollably, did we imagine that in only a few months an effective vaccine could be developed that would save millions of lives? When an old church is suddenly destroyed by fire or a tornado, can we imagine that a new and better church will emerge? Every summer I ride across Iowa on my bicycle for RAGBRAI, and I always stop at new UCC churches. And I ask them, what happened? And almost all of them say, well, there was a fire, or there was a tornado. They're happy now. But I never have found a situation where people said, well, our church building was just old and we tore it down. Let me close with a story about a period of my own darkness. My Friday. In February 1969, a long time ago, I was drafted into the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War. So many GIs had been killed that even those of us who were married and with student deferments were taken. I left the University of Wisconsin, where student protests over the war had resulted in the Wisconsin National Guard being stationed on campus to restore order. I was inducted in the Army in St. Louis, my hometown at the time. We assembled during the day and were given a toothbrush and a blessing by the Salvation Army, and then boarded buses to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri for our basic training. We arrived about 11 p.m., maybe 100 of us in a small theater. The sergeant addressed us. "We're going to kill the gooks." For those of you not in tune, that's not a nice word, he said. The sergeant was interrupted by a recruit who suddenly started yelling, waving his arms, and vomiting all over. He was having a nervous breakdown. They carried him out, and the sergeant continued. During basic training, we were cut off from communication with the outside world and were told that all of us were headed for combat in Vietnam. We threw our street clothes into a large dumpster and replaced them with Army green. The next weeks were tough. We were being dehumanized to the point where we would be willing to kill another human being. Up at 3:30 a.m., stand in the cold and rain until 4:30 a.m. when the sergeant would show up. Low crawl through the Missouri mud. Then go directly to the mess hall for breakfast. Oh, no washing of hands. No silverware. 5 minutes to eat and get out or you were thrown out. On one of our morning runs, one of us collapsed, fell to the ground. He was less well-trained, less able to cope. The sergeant kicked him repeatedly until he finally struggled to his feet. We ran again. At the end of our basic training, half our unit was in the hospital with pneumonia. I remember my sergeant. I remember thinking that if he collapsed while we were out running, I would not help him. Then I realized he had won. I had lost my humanity. It took much time to recover, and I can only imagine what it took for those who fought in Vietnam and other places. This was my Friday. I never went to Vietnam, although every week I expected orders to come that would send me there. Instead, I became a newspaper writer for the Fort Carson, Colorado Mountaineer Post newspaper. I had a civilian woman as a boss, a former newspaper woman from New Jersey, who not only taught me a great deal about how to get generals and others to tell you what's really going on, but became a friend and supporter as well. She led me to Sunday. It's Friday now. We face problems that seem insurmountable, but Sunday's coming. Might not be this Sunday, might not be this year, but the lesson of Jesus is that Sunday can and will come. Amen.
From Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and the tomb, and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth.
As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called Golgotha, the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And the soldiers cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at Jesus, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God. He is the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him. This is the king of Jews. One of the criminals who was hanging there kept deriding Jesus and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Thank you.
Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all Jesus' acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb, where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment.